Welcome to the Fairest Love Podcast, Single, Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it's by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie Hinderer, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, professional growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together. Morning, Monica.
Good morning.
I'm excited to talk about our topic today, but we're supposed to start with joys. So what's your joy for the week? Do you have one?
One of my best friends successfully and healthily gave birth to little boy twins. I'm so really, really grateful that everything is good and that everyone is healthy.
The picture you sent was so cute of them. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's adorable.
Oh my gosh. And this takes her from one to three. So Anyway, we've got to pray for this friend of yours because that's a lot. Mom always said it was hardest to go from two to three kids because with two, you've got two arms, but three, suddenly you're like, someone's left out. You got to have the second
step. We're just going to dive right into three being outnumbered. Zone defense here.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think for me, my joy, I had a couple joys of the week, but yesterday, so I am in the midst of this like huge, huge client project that has been sucking my time and energy and life away from me. I think of the Princess Bride. I have now sucked 1 year of your life. I feel a little bit like that. And anyway, so sometimes just to like keep myself in the zone, I'll like not work from my home office and I will, go work from somewhere else. So yesterday I sat at Starbucks literally from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. and got so much work done, which I was really grateful for. But my joy was being there and seeing the manager who clearly loved her job and loved all the staff and the patrons. And I was like, I was just really blown away by her because she greeted every single person that walked into the Starbucks, like every single person, with not just like a hey, but like a hey, welcome in, or like hey, love your hat, or whatever, right? All these things. And then, you know, she like doled out compliments to her employees. And even when she was giving like some kind of criticism or critique, it was like done really well and really beautifully. Anyway, so she was my joy because I just was like, this is the kind of boss you want. Like, and it's Starbucks, which I mean, whatever, but like,
hey, I loved working for Starbucks.
And it's true.
People are gonna say what they're gonna say, but I loved being a barista. Like, it was so much fun.
I know. Every now and then I'm like, maybe I should just get a part-time job at like a
coffee. Katie.
Because I don't have enough on my plate.
Our previous episode on Russian woman syndrome.
I know. I mean, and here I was. Like, I literally worked there from 9 to 5. I took a break. I prayed. I went to the gym. I had a little dinner. And then I worked again from like 9 to midnight. And then went to bed. So, you know, I don't exactly have time right now, but.
No, you're crazy. But it's interesting. That's a good segue into our takeaway from last week, which is actually what we're going to be talking about extensively this week, because it was just sort of inspired us to think very intentionally about creating community. So I was thinking of it because you're like, oh, this Starbucks kind of community, and I'm going to go work in a setting that's social as opposed to working in a setting with solitude. You know, and a friend asked me recently, he was like, wouldn't you be happier if you were going into an office? And I was like, maybe. That solitude, like too much solitude is actually really interesting, right? And it creates this interesting loneliness. And so, which is what we were talking about last week, right? This idea of loneliness isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's a feeling that inspires us to go and find community and intention with other people, right? That's something that's really important. I should pull up this quote that I had from, I just gave a talk recently on creating sisterhood. So anyways, that's what we're going to be talking about today. This idea of our takeaways were, how are we going to create community in our life or seek that out? And so we're actually going to talk about, how do you do that?
Yep. I think it's great. And I mean, really being at that Starbucks yesterday really had me thinking, you know, like they knew the regulars. They knew their drinks, and even the manager, sometimes people would walk in and they were clearly picking up a mobile order, and a couple times she would look at someone and be like, a half calf grande with soy. And
they'd be like, that, like, she knew, she could read your order.
Yeah How did you know? And she's like, I mean just was guessing. And I was like, that's hilarious. Anyway, but I was thinking like some coffee shops, right? I mean, there's another one actually that if it had more space to work from, I'd probably work from. And it's more like a locally owned, like mom and pop. It's called Telio here. But like, you know, sometimes those little places do create a community of people who get together. Or I don't know if we talked about this on another episode or if I was telling someone else, but I was working for Panera one day. Mm-hmm. They call it St. Louis Bread Co. in St. Louis, but it's the same company, which is weird.
Same thing.
But I was working from Panera one day, and I was waiting for my oil to get changed, and this group of like a dozen elders came and pushed all their chairs together, all had their cup of coffee, and then all brought cookies and cakes and treats from elsewhere. Didn't buy them from Panera. Like, literally someone walked in with like a dozen Krispy Kreme. Someone had made cookies. And they were men and women. The men were sitting on one side. The women were sitting on the other. But like, and clearly they're there so often because all the Panera employees knew them by name. And they just got together and were all talking. It was right around Valentine's Day. And all the women were in red. It was super cute.
I love it.
And I was like, oh, see, that's, I think that's what we're missing sometimes is that community.
The intentionality of getting together. Yeah. So I pulled up this quote that I really love. And it's by John Cacioppo. I'm going to butcher his name, but he says, loneliness isn't the physical absence of other people. It's the sense that you're not sharing anything that matters with anyone else.
Mm.
Right? So
wait, read it again. Read it again. That was good.
Loneliness isn't the physical absence of other people. It's the sense that you're not sharing anything that matters with anyone else.
Mm. See? And I think this, like, to our point, if you haven't listened to last week's episode, go listen to that before you listen to this. But like, that fits perfectly with what the research was showing, right? It's not just about talking to someone necessarily or, you know, greeting someone as you're passing them on the street as you're walking, but it's about having deep conversations, deep connections with people, talking about things that are difficult or that are hard or that you're passionate about.
Yeah. What's interesting is when I presented this to this group of women, a lot of them resonated with that quote with their intimate relationships, particularly with family. And this is true. I say this to parents a lot, is that oftentimes we think because a relationship is established, we no longer have to put in the work to maintain it. Mm. And that actually these people who are really close in our lives, we have to be willing to go deeper. And sometimes we choose not to go deeper because vulnerability with someone who intimately knows us is far more dangerous than vulnerability with a stranger, right? I could tell a stranger anything. They're going to get off this train and I'm never going to see them again. Who cares, right? But if I tell someone something that matters to me, who's going to stick around, who could judge me, who could, all of the what ifs that go through our mind, right? That we withhold. And it's like, okay, but these people in your life, are you really sharing these matters of the heart? Really sharing these things that actually matter, right?
Yeah, I think it is so interesting. This is also making me think. I saw a reel the other day of, I don't even know. I think it was two other podcasters, but they were talking about how you hit a certain age in your life, especially as women, and when you get together with your friends, they're just catch-up moments.
Yeah.
And that like does a disservice because you're not like continuing to grow your relationship. You're just catching up on like, okay, well, we haven't seen each other in like 4 months. So like, where are you at? How's your job? How's your husband? How's your kids? Like, da, da, da. Instead of continuing to build the relationship and make new memories. And the one girl was saying, oh yeah, she had heard this. And so she told like all her girlfriends, and like the next week they were doing an escape room together instead of their like, you know, quarterly catch up dinner. And she's like, we were like, let's also make new memories together. And it's not like, an escape room is kind of different from what we're talking about here. But I think to that point, right, like of going deeper and building together is really important and good for us to consider.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is what we're going to kind of talk about is how do you create community? Because there is a temptation. No, maybe it's not temptation. There's the likelihood of being lonely as you're single is higher than if you're in relationship with someone. Although people who are married can also be lonely. You know, I don't want to ignore that, but because why? The loneliness is sharing something that matters, right? And so you can become disconnected with someone very close and intimate with you because you no longer share things or so forth. So, but the singleness shows a really, it's a kind of unique, which is why most intentionally single people, celibate people who are kind of sacrificing relationship for something higher, a higher kind of sacrifice, they often live in community or family so that they can have that sustaining experience of connection with people because there's this understanding that we need it so badly. And so this is just something I think we wanted to kind of give advice on, or tips and tricks with kind of how we've handled it, or how we continue to manage and handle it, and kind of go forward in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I know as you were saying this, I was thinking, like, even a lot of dioceses are moving so that they're the parish priests aren't just living at their, like, the single right. parish priest who's taking care of his parish isn't just living there, but they're, like, several living in a community. Our brother, who's a seminarian, or I guess a transitional deacon now, you know, there's three other priests and him who live in the rectory now. And it's, they don't always eat together. They don't always, but there's always someone home, right? Or there's always, like, people around. And I think that that also helps kind of build that community. But that's, anyway, that's different. But kind of that along those lines. So yeah, so like thinking, how do we reach out? How do we be more social? How do we create or build this community? I think one of the things that I mentioned in our episode 3 on friendship that I was trying to do is I was like, okay, how do I make new friends? And I realized, like, okay, I could join something, or I was like, or I could just rejoin the CrossFit gym that I was loving and like had a ton of friends, or like I was starting to create friendships at. Sadly, I had to stop going to the CrossFit gym because I jacked my neck up so bad.
Oh, yeah. Like, that is a risk. Yeah.
It's still recovering.
That's a risk.
But like, I'm still trying to stay in touch with those women and like trying to touch base with them, trying to find a time to see them and that kind of a thing. So I think sometimes, like, before you start thinking far outside the box, like I need to join something else or I need to do something more, to think, you know, where do I already have this that I could maybe lean into it, or I could, you know, explore in another way.
Yeah. And I think I would just reflect on where and when, what were the times where you felt most connected? And are there ways to recreate that in your current life and current situation and circumstance? Are you involved in things where the disconnect is not that you're not active or participating in community or your society, but rather you're not going deeper? Mm-hmm. Right. So there are some people who are going to be like pretty social and they're like, no, I go out all the time, but they come home and they're lonely. Like, well, then you're not going deep enough probably. Right. You're not right. like finding those connection and meaning points with people potentially. So part of this is kind of this reflection of maybe I need to push myself to be more outgoing and to go places and to find people and communities that I really enjoy. The other is maybe I need to push myself to like open up, and it's tricky, but vulnerability incites vulnerability, right? Mm-hmm. I sometimes have to be the one who initiates, because then others will be like, oh my gosh, me too. I'll never forget. I was in grad school. I was super lonely. It was hard. I was really, really struggling. I was so different from everyone in my grad program. My grad program was really intense, and I just felt like I didn't fit in, and I just didn't fit in with anybody, and I was really struggling. And I was walking through campus with a girl in my program, and she's like, how are you doing? And I just stopped, I looked at her, and I was like, I'm actually really lonely. And she was like, oh my god, me too. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah. So then we, like, our little group that had kind of been hanging out together, we like planned like a girls' night and like a sleepover and like yeah, and it was super sweet, but it's sometimes you have to be like brave enough to go there.
No, it's so true. This is making me think the book, The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown, was like,
I mean,
it. If you haven't read the book, I highly, highly recommend. It's honestly, it was the first, I'll call it like personal development book I'd ever read.
Mm-hmm.
And it launched me into, like, I think it drastically changed my life. I don't say that like, I mean, okay, that was a little bit of a dramatic statement, but I don't say that like exaggerated.
Yeah.
Reading that book, I actually was reading it right before I went on a retreat. So I took it with me on retreat. Like, and I often like prayed with it instead of with some of the spiritual books that I had brought, because it was so helpful for me, because I am not one that wants to be vulnerable. I'm an Enneagram 3, which never wants to fail, which never wants to look bad. Right. But one of the things that she points out in this book is that when we are vulnerable with others, it creates community, connection. And I forget what the third C is, but like when we're vulnerable, we are able to create that bond, that community, that connection that we all need and we all crave. But we can't get there if we're not sharing things that are difficult, right? Or sharing things that are hard.
Or sharing things that just matter, right? And it doesn't have to be like, look, parts of your story and your heart are earned.
Sure.
Nobody has the right to your story or to your traumas and experiences. Like, I'm not saying trauma dump. And this is where people get confused, right? Yeah. I have to open up, then I have to share all these things. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Does that person earn or deserve that part of your story, that piece of your heart? And we want to, like, open up slowly and intentionally, and that these parts are, like, earned through time and commitment and consistency with people, right? These really intimate parts of ourselves. So kind of what's the difference in what we're saying between, like, oh, kind of trauma dumping or sharing too much, but being open and sharing things that kind of matter to you? Like, I don't know, when you're out on dates or when you're meeting people or when you're doing these things, like, are you actually asking questions of things that, like, really matter to you, right? These moral or political or even social stances that are, you know, important to you. And it doesn't even have to be, like, super heavy, but it can just be like, I love, or like, I am so inspired by, you know, XYZ. And so like, here's this, like, thing that really matters to me, or this organization that I'm involved in, or this thing that I'm passionate about. And really being able to share, because then you're going to be able to find people who are like-minded. I was thinking a lot about, like, why did I love CrossFit so much? For a multitude of reasons, right? One, it's the physical intensity that I absolutely love, that my body and mind thrive in. Great. But two, it means other people probably felt really similarly if they were also going to a place like that. And so we had a lot of those particular things in common. And when you see them consistently enough, you can start to get to know them and know their lives and start to open up about different things. Like, even I have one friend who it's like, we just talked a lot about, like, my professional struggles or the kind of wrestling with my profession. And she's like, oh my God, I've totally been there. Like, I've been in, like, you know, like, provider burnout. And so was that, like, this deep and intimate thing? Like, no, but
yeah,
it still takes a lot to be like, hey, I'm kind of burned out, right? And she's able to be like, oh, I'm a nurse, me too, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting because I think there are certain communities, certain organizations that do a better job of community building than others, right? Like, I have belonged to many gyms over the course of my life, right? Yeah. And I've belonged to many gyms that I would consider kind of like CrossFit in the sense of, like, it's a group workout, right? It's a group thing that you're doing. Like, I belonged to Orange Theory for probably 5 years. I worked at three different Orange Theories almost every single day. And I will tell you, I did not know one other attendee's name. I knew all the coaches, and the coaches all knew me. But I didn't, and we never talked about anything. And then when I joined CrossFit, I was like, oh, this is different. Like, there's something about the way that they build this community and something about the culture of that, that allows for this. So I think it's also too, it's not just a matter of like, okay, well, like, I'm gonna go join something then, but it's also, if you're trying to look for this community, it's also finding things that help or support these kinds of connections and these kinds of things. I mean, obviously, could you make really good friends at Orange Theory? Sure, if you were really good about talking to the person next to you on the treadmill while you're both, like, huffing it up the hill at a 15 incline.
Yeah,
but not the same. Right. So I think,
well, and that speaks to what we talked about last week, in that if we are in these settings, like, I go to group fitness class or I do this or I do that, and I'm just like, I haven't met any blah, 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 blah. Well, okay. To Nick Epley's research, like, then say something to them. Put your phone down the 10 minutes before you're waiting to walk into that class and talk to the people and be willing to ask bigger questions. Be willing to ask them, like, I see you here so often. Like, oh my gosh, tell me about yourself. Like, you know, what brought you to this? What brought you to Orange Theory? Like, oh my gosh, what do you do for work? Like, whatever, these things that we can do. And if you're struggling, we have ChatGPT. Just tell ChatGPT what your struggle is and ask it to give you questions and prompts to ask people. Listen, right? You don't even have to do the work anymore.
We should do a whole episode on how ChatGPT can change your life, because I'm obsessed.
I know you are.
And everybody knows.
Yeah.
We use it for so much of what I do and in my business. I'm like, I can't imagine how we would.
Yeah.
I mean, we would not be able to do what we do without
it. What do people do before this?
I mean, we would be able to, but not to the, like, level that we are or to the extent
for
that we
sure.
are.
Obviously. For sure. So anyways, I think the point being, think about areas in your life that you want to thrive in. I talk about this a lot with, you know, people struggling with dating, and they're like, but I'm going to this thing and I'm not meeting anyone. I'm like, do you like that thing? do you like volleyball? And they're like, no, I'm miserable. And I'm like, stop going. Good grief. Like, if you hate it and you're going to be miserable, and also, like, you're probably going to find a sporty guy. And if you hate that, what are you doing there? Like, you know, go to places that fill your bucket.
Yeah.
You'll find like-minded people who, when you start to get to know them, when you engage in that community, you're gonna find a similarity in something that fills your bucket.
Right. And I think it's interesting because I was thinking, you know, especially for people who have a hard time just talking to strangers, like one of the things that I've been looking into is like different hike clubs. Cause like I love hiking and I really love hiking alone, but I was like, I could join a hike club and like just go on random hikes with people. Like, and that would be one touch point that I have in common with the people who are there. And we might not agree on almost anything else, but like that's at least a good starting point to have that conversation, you know?
But that's to Nick Epley's point, is that community teaches us tolerance and empathy and understanding. So we should be putting ourselves in communities where, yeah, there's something similar here, but something very different. This CrossFit friend of mine, her and I could not be more different on every single social, moral, and political issue. Every single one. We are on opposite ends of the spectrum. And yet I love her. I love her perspective. She loves me. She loves my perspective. We speak so respectfully on these issues and we have so much fun together. Like, I've learned so much from her and from this different perspective in life and come to such an understanding. And it doesn't mean that I agree with choices and with whatever, but I don't have to agree.
Right.
I don't have to agree. I'm called to witness, not win. And so I'm going to live my life. I'm going to be very rooted in who I am and the life that I live. And I'm going to encounter others. And that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, hot take. This is probably going to make some people upset who are listening to this.
But
here goes. Because, you know, why not? A little controversy. I think one of the things that frustrates me the most with the like Catholic women community.
Oh, no. You're about to make our entire following upset.
No. Okay. But with people who are, I think this is true for men too. So people who are on the more traditional side of Catholicism. Okay. Like we believe in the Magisterium. We believe in the Ten Commandments. We've read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, or at least a large part of it. Right. I think we often try to live in a bubble, and I think we are doing the body of Christ a disservice by doing that.
Yeah.
Hot take. But
Well, this is a little bit more of people who maybe adhere to like the letter of the law versus the spirit. The spirit's harder, I think, in some ways to adhere to because you trend close to relativism at times, right? Like you run the risk of when you implement spirit of the law over letter of the law, but both have their risks, right? So letter of the law, like you run the risk of becoming a Pharisee and being so uptight and strict that you cannot see the human person in front of you. And spirit of the law, you run the risk of becoming a moral relativist in some ways, right? So again, everything in life is about towing that line, that fine balance between the two. And so yes, is it safer, quote unquote, to have all of these Catholic friends and to only be in a Catholic bubble and to only date Catholic people and to only, yes. Is that what we're called to do? No. Is that what Christ did? No.
Yeah. No. And that's what I think. Like, I think we often just get caught in the bubble. We, you know, we join church organizations and then we do young adult things with the archdiocese or with the parish. And then we go to, you know, I was gonna say Pints with Aquinas. No. What do they call that? Theology on tap. And then, you know what I mean? And then we're doing like speed dating, but at a parish and whatever. I mean, not me, but people.
Others.
Right. And like, and then, or we're joining the book club that's at the parish as opposed to like just during a dang book club. Right. Or whatever. Like, how are we getting out? How are we meeting new people? This is making me think of, this is really random, but Kat Von D, if you've ever seen her, right? She's got a makeup line. She's a tattoo artist. She had a show for several years called LA Ink. I'm a big fan of tattoos, etc. So I have seen several episodes of this, and she is a tatted mess, or was kind of a tatted mess and whatnot.
It's like her whole body, like 90% of her body is tatted.
Yeah, it's a lot. And definitely was living more the lifestyle, I would say, of a classic kind of tattoo artist in LA type of style.
You can, you know,
use your own
judgment on that.
Anyway, and then she got married and she had a couple kids and she decided to move to Indiana or Michigan. I forget which, though.
Like, I think Bufu, Indiana.
Yeah, they're like the same thing to me. Anyway, so like she picked up and moved the family there because she like didn't like the LA lifestyle, raising her family, etc. And then she was like curious about religion. And so she started going to different churches on Sundays to just try things out. And she ended up converting and getting baptized because one of the places she went to, like, greeted her with, like, loving arms. And I was thinking, like her conversion would not be possible if we were like, nope, you can't come unless you agree with everything. Like, you can't, you know, like, whatever. And it's not that we only befriend people who are different so that they can convert or so that they can, you know, but, like.
No, but it's a balance. Like,
exactly.
Here's the thing. Our core friends to this deepest level probably should be morally very aligned with you because they help keep you in check. We need these touch points in our life.
Totally.
Right? We need these church groups, these moral groups, these friendships who keep us tethered because it's difficult out there. But we can't only rely on that. Those are not the only people that we should be encountering, nor are they the only people that we should be creating community with. And I want to be really clear that when we say creating community, I'm not saying evangelization or proselytizing.
Right, right.
I'm not saying you go out there because this is what we do as Christians and go convert everybody. I'm saying go meet people, go make friendships, go encounter human beings.
Right, go ahead.
And learn to love people for who they are, as they are, where they are, period. Right.
Yeah, I mean, the classic story of, you know, our Lord with the woman at the well, he doesn't come out to her right away and say, convert, woman, you've had seven husbands.
Yeah.
No, he's like, hey, what are you doing? Can I have some water?
Yeah. Right?
Because she's there drawing water. So, of course, like, what's the first connection point? Like, and he just starts a conversation with her and slowly moves her to this way. And you'll note, he doesn't tell her, go into the village and tell everyone what I have done for you.
Mm-mm.
But she converts and goes into the village and does that, right? But he's not like, go do this, like that. Anyway, but I think, and that could be not the challenge for the week, but an interesting, like, challenge for us to think about, like, those who are listening, like, do you have a friend who thinks differently from you than you about, insert hot topic, abortion, euthanasia, capital punishment,
Trump,
Republican versus Democrat. I mean, like, whatever, right? Do you have friends that think differently? Mm-hmm. And if you don't, I think I would say my challenge to you is, well, first, ask yourself why. And secondly, try and make some.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really, I think not only can they open our eyes to understanding and being empathetic and understanding other opinions and other perspectives, but I also think, too, they can often help us deepen our own love and understanding for what we hold to be true.
For sure.
Because they make you really think.
Yeah.
You don't be able to explain.
And I will say, like, this is a product of being a therapist and just encountering a lot of people and hearing their stories and being like, no one is anything that you assume on the surface, like the surface level meeting of someone and even their behaviors. I really believe people can do terrible things and they're not bad people. That there's, and I'm not justifying what they've done, and I'm not saying that what they've done is right, but I understand why they got to that point. And that I actually can't say that given those circumstances, pressures, and experiences that I too would not have made similar choices.
Totally.
Like, we are all capable of doing a lot of things. And I think, you know, growing up in a really conservative environment that I think borderline on kind of toxic modesty and purity culture, for sure, a little bit. I think I had this kind of G side of people who maybe slept around or had multiple partners or did this and that. And I will say all of the people who I've met who have been with, and I'm telling you, like, 30 plus people, 60 people in their life, like, a lot. They've slept with a lot of people. And we can look at that and be like, gross, or like, what's wrong with you? Or like, that is so bad. I'm not saying that it's good. But in conversations with them, I'm like, oh, these people are deeply traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
These people have actually had really traumatic experiences that set them on a path that led them to these decisions. And unless you're willing to, like, get into that mess with them, or unless you're willing to, like, encounter people different than what you would have ordinarily, you're really missing, like, hearing people's stories and loving them where they are and challenging your own beliefs and misconceptions about things.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, too, it helps us understand people more. It helps us understand our own failings sometimes more, too, because sometimes we can fall in a way and that we're like, how did this happen?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we're like, oh, but like, okay, like, I'm human and like this happened. I mean, this, you know, we work really hard for it not to. I'm not saying like that's sin all the time. Like, it doesn't matter. But, you know, I think having friends who do think differently, who are kind of outside of our norm, outside of our, I think it also helps us have better conversations even with our own friends or with others as well. You know, like I can remember the first time like a good friend of mine told me how many guys she had slept with previously. And I was like, you know, and at first, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, whoa, right? One of my college roommates was like, crazy. I had never met anyone like this before in my whole life, right? Like having grown up, you know, in these kind of circles and bubbles and whatnot. But honestly, and everyone always asks me, like, do you regret your freshman roommate having her? And I didn't transfer. And I probably should have transferred to a different dorm after first semester. But I always tell people I don't regret having her. Because she taught me more in that year about my own faith, but also about understanding people, talking to them, going deep than I think I ever would have learned with a roommate who thought like I did. You know, and yeah, was it super awkward? Were there many guys that I couldn't look in the face on campus because I knew what had happened?
Hey, hi, how you doing?
In my dorm room? Yeah, absolutely. You know, but it really, really helped me. In other aspects, right? And like it really helped me when a good friend then came and was like, I'm going to this, that, or the other. Or, you know, a really good friend of mine like had to go into rehab. And like I was like, oh, like I get this because I experienced this, you know, with my roommate. Like she didn't go into rehab, but she drank a ton, right? And like, anyway, so I think it can help us a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, that's. Yeah, gosh. I have so many thoughts. I was just trying to kind of consolidate everything I'm thinking. But even thinking about, I think it's important, part of this empathy and tolerance and understanding is thinking about how can I relate to certain things. And so some of these friends, right, like deeply traumatized and as a result, right, ran into the arms of men to feel better. Mm-hmm. To try to kind of regain some sexual control after certain things happened that were out of control. And it's like, okay, can I relate to ever feeling like hurt and out of control and doing things to try to get a sense of control back in my life or a sense of like safety? Like, yes, I've made choices with those similar tones and themes. Now, the choice I made was different.
Right.
But I understand the motivators and the sentiment underneath and behind why someone may do what they do. It's just I had the same motivators. I made a different choice, right? And so it's really an exercise of it's a really beautiful thing to encounter people different and to challenge yourself to think deeper, to really solidify these tenets of the faith that we – like if you can't explain why we do what we do – and if the answer is because God said so, I understand why you don't want to go out into the world and create community because that's going to rock your world. Like, that's going to be so difficult to encounter people where they say, like, why do you do that? Like, literally, I had a bartender one time be like, come on, Monica. Like, why? Just like a one-night stand. Come on. And I'm like, Tim, no. And he's like, but why? And I'm like, thank you so much for asking. Ready?
Here's why.
You asked for it, buddy. Like, here we go. I'm going to get into this. Like,
yep.
But if it was like I didn't know how to have those hard conversations or answer that, or I didn't know why I was doing what I was doing or why I believed what I was believing, like this is one of many reasons why creating community and going out and finding other people helps solidify and forge these tenets and aspects of our faith. It's good to be challenged. It's good to question and wonder because in that searching, we put deeper roots.
Yeah. You know, this is making me think when I was in high school, I was super shy, blah, blah. Anybody who knows me knows that. Anybody who knows me now and didn't know me in high school doesn't believe that. But anyway, super shy. You know, my parents were always trying to make me do things that would make me be less shy and like push me out of my comfort zone. Anyway, I had a job at Kohl's, which if you are listening and you're not from the States, it's a big big box retailer. I had a job at Kohl's when I was in high school. And I remember I set myself the like personal challenge to look each customer in the eye when I spoke to them, so much so that when they walked away, I could tell myself the color of their eyes.
Oh, that's very intense.
And obviously I wasn't like creepy staring, but it was forcing me to make sure I was like connecting with the person, looking them in the eye, right? The eyes are the windows to the soul. You know, every now and then I will do that again. Or like when I'm meeting someone new, I sometimes remind myself, look them in the eye to the point where like you can say what their eye color is. So that you kind of create that first initial connection, mm-hmm. right? That, like, that's how we connect with people, is through the face, through the facial expressions, through the eyes. And so maybe that is like a good first step. If you're sitting here thinking like, oh my gosh, like this sounds really daunting to try and like create a community or find a community or like start being more social. Like, I don't even know where to begin. Maybe it's as simple as that, right? When you're out and you're at Starbucks and you're getting your coffee, you look the barista in the eye and you walk away and being like, okay, he had brown eyes, right? And you're getting your food at Trader Joe's and you're like, okay, she had blue eyes, whatever, mm-hmm. right? And it can be a good kind of first step or first yeah. kind of way.
That's a great takeaway. So maybe just kind of thinking, how can I either go out and create community in my day-to-day, or how can I enrich the people and community I already have in my life and challenge myself to grow in those areas. So just, mm-hmm. you know, thinking a little bit deeper about creating community where I am, and that's really important. And don't be intimidated or afraid to create community with people who are not, you know, the safest choice.
Yeah. And I think too, sometimes just all you need to do is find one common connection. Mm. Right? Like just
And maybe
one.
That's the challenge.
And that's all you need, right? Like that's all you need. One of the girls I'm trying to get to know at the gym, women, I'm trying to get to know at the gym. Like we connected because 2 years ago, Seek was in St. Louis and I was there working. And she had seen on my Instagram stories that I was at Seek. And so she came up to me at the gym and she said, did you go to Seek? And I said, I did. I was there for clients. Like I was working. And she was like, I went one night and it was amazing. We should talk about it. And I was like, that was like the perfect in. Like, and I had no idea. I had no idea she was Catholic. I had no idea she practiced. I had no idea anything about her life at all. Turns out she's a convert. Like, you know, all these things. And I was like, oh, like that's all. That was the only and I needed, because the whole time, well, I'm an overthinker and an introvert. So I was like, how do I get to know her? How do I get to know her? Like, I can't just ask her how to do a better burpee. Like what? Like, you know,
and then I guess I could have. Like this is like that's such a great example, Katie, because here's what happened there. You encountered people. You became friends with them. You met them where they were at while simultaneously authentically living your life and who you were.
Right.
And in that blend, she was able to see things
right.
and say, hey, let's go deeper, because like she felt connected to you and she saw how you lived your life.
Right.
And it was like, boom, opportunity. So
right.
we often, I think some people either pull themselves away from opportunities like this, or they think too hard about it. They're like scanning and they're like, who can I evangelize? And it's like, good grief. Like, stop that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let God work.
Yeah.
He can only work if you are encountering people and living your life, okay? Like, we're overthinking it, and we're trying to take on too much control over who's our friends and who we're dating and who we're doing this with and who we're doing that with. Like, stop it. Just yeah. live your life and, like, work on becoming a really good version of yourself and having a deep relationship with God, and work on having deep relationships with people in your life and encountering them, and the rest will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm. This is making me think at the very beginning of that podcast that we talked about last week that was talking about this anti-social century. The guy was talking about how on Instagram now and TikTok, it's really popular to do your morning routine, you know, like go over your morning routine. And he was noticing like no one's ever in people's morning routines. It's all about betterment. It's all about like I wake up at 4:30 and then I drink this amount of water and it's purified from the mountains of whatever. And then it's like, and I take these supplements and then I do this red light therapy and then I do that. And then he was like, and there's never any people in it. And he's like, and you wonder why they are constantly seeking new morning routines to make themselves
bored and lonely.
Feel better.
When and really I was like, what would make you feel better is like a person.
Exactly. And so I think, and it's not that like your morning routine needs to like include, you know, someone necessarily, but like if our whole life is like that, where all we're trying to do is like optimize it, kind of like the episode we did on Don't Die, like if all we're trying to do is like biohack and optimize our lives through supplements and through this, that, the other, a lot of that is just very selfish and not very outward thinking. So I think we got to wrap up. We're going long today, but I think I would say kind of a takeaway or the homework for this week is think of different ways you can just try and connect with people around you. Mm-hmm. Like, what are those going to be? How can you do that this week? And maybe it's finally talking to that person. Maybe it's striking up a conversation with a stranger on the train. Maybe it's whatever. Having a deep conversation with someone who you know super superficially right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that.
I love that.
That could be.
And on that note, That's it for this week on Single, Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are on your journey, remember that God is with you, and this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving this podcast, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Join us on social media at Single, Not Stalled. We'd love to hear all your thoughts and ideas. Until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly.